And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. How you doing, Mickey?
I'm doing well, Rob.
Okay, well, last time we talked, we told our listeners that I would choose the commodity and give you a week to do the research. Did you get your homework done?
I did, and you picked platinum and palladium, and that's a subject that we need to delve into. So here's what I found out. So platinum and palladium, now I knew a lot of this before, but as a review for listeners who are probably not as up on this group of metals, these are two of the six so-called platinum group metals. Mm-hmm. And the most important of that group, especially with respect to both industrial uses and precious metal uses in some respect, are platinum and palladium. These metals were first mined by the Incas, especially platinum. They occur in placers in Colombia. And when the Spaniards, conquistadores, came into that part of Latin America, they discovered platinum being used by the Incas, and they called it patina del pinto, which translated literally means patina means little silver, and it was found along the Rio Pinto, pinto meaning spotted in Spanish, in Colombia. Especially in the 18th century, these metals were very much valued, especially platinum, by the Europeans. Both the rich and royal Europeans use it for jewelry, and it was called white gold because of its silvery color.
Right. Silvery white appearance to it. Can it be sometimes mistaken as being silver and not platinum?
You know, I can't really answer that question. Certainly, platinum is much heavier than silver, silver being number 47 on the periodic table, and platinum right next to gold at number 78. So there are actually six metals, ruthenium, rhodium, and palladium, on the top row in the periodic table, numbers 44 through 46, and immediately below those, osmium, which is quite an obscure metal, iridium, and platinum. And these are also called the noble metals, and they are extremely rare metals, extremely rare elements, along with gold, tellurium, and rhenium, which occur very near these in the periodic table. They are the least abundant metals on the planet. Only platinum and palladium are actually mined for as primary products and used in significant quantities. And there's much less production, say an order of magnitude less for ruthenium, rhodium, and iridium, although those metals do have some uses.
Okay, well, let's talk further about the physical characteristics for platinum and palladium. You talked about a silvery white appearance to platinum. Also, I know that it's very resistant to corrosion. What are some of the other characteristics, not only for platinum, but palladium as well, Mickey?
Okay, well, I think we'll do this metal by metal. Platinum is dense, and it's malleable, and it's ductile, so it can be easily worked. As you mentioned, it's silvery white. It's lustrous, which gives it a precious metal or a jewelry component. An important characteristic is it's non-magnetic, which leads to industrial uses. Palladium is less dense, which makes sense because it sits on top of platinum on the periodic table, and it has the lowest melting point of all these noble metals, which leads to industrial uses. Mm-hmm. Again, silvery white, lustrous, which means it has some jewelry component, soft and ductile. Interestingly enough, it occurs at 6 ppb in the crust, which would be twice the abundance of gold and platinum.
Okay, well, let's talk about how these metals are used. You mentioned the jewelry component, but I suspect that many of our listeners are also aware of the fact that both platinum and palladium are key in the making of catalytic converters for automobiles. But why are they the perfect metals to be used in that fashion? And just how important is the health of the auto industry to the overall demand for both platinum and palladium?
Well, it's very important, as you mentioned, primary components of auto catalytic converters, and that has to do because the physical characteristics of these metals are catalysts, which means they speed up chemical reactions. So the catalytic converter industry has grown over the last 30 years, let's say, to become a very significant part of the demand, the increased demand in these metals. But they're also used in jewelry and electronics, and they've been used for a long time in cracking petroleum as catalysts to separate petroleum products, and also in the glass and chemical industries. And we can't denigrate the use of these as precious metals. So hoarding has become a significant part of the use of these metals. But then again, we go back to demand and use is dominated by the auto industry, something on the order 44% for platinum and 47% for palladium, so just under half the demand is the auto industry.
Okay, and the auto industry, as you're well aware, Mickey, over the past little while has been coming back. What has that meant for the current supply-demand situation right now for platinum and palladium? Is there enough on the market to meet demand? Is there a surplus? What's the current status?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed bag. This is not a large mining industry. Mine production of platinum is less than 200 tons a year. For palladium, it's slightly more than 200 tons a year. So for each of these metals, you're talking somewhere in the order, depending on the health of the auto industry and the demand from jewelers and hoarders, of 6 to 7 million ounces a year. And so compare that with gold at 75 million ounces. So we're talking an order of magnitude less demand than gold is on the planet. The mine supply is for platinum is very much dominated by South Africa at 80%, and then we have Russia and the U.S. and Canada and Zimbabwe coming in behind those. For palladium, it's about halfway split between South Africa and Russia at 40% each, and then the USA, Canada, and Zimbabwe supplying the remainder of that. Recycling, especially in the auto catalyst industry, and secondary sources, and that would include byproducts from copper refineries, and increasingly with high prices, scrap jewelry being recycled, is significant at about 15-20% of supply. Then again, we have to go back to the demand is dominated by the auto industry. In the late 2000s, we've seen significant increases in demand, dominated by the jewelry industry, especially platinum in Japan and palladium in China. If you really think about it, palladium selling for a price of maybe 30% of platinum, so it is a substitute for platinum in jewelry. It's not quite as lustrous, it's not quite as silvery, so a little bit denigrated in its appearance, but in for the masses in China, it's become a very in-demand metal for jewelry. And then with the global economic crisis that happened in 2008, we saw very much increased demand for platinum and palladium coins and bars. And then there were ETFs launched in 2007, so you have this kind of paper fractional banking system demand where people are hoarding platinum and palladium and basically playing the volatility of the price in the ETFs.
Okay, well, you did mention that this is not a very big market at all. Maybe to help further put that in perspective, Mickey, the world's biggest producer of platinum, I'm not going to name the name of the company, but the world's biggest producer of this stuff plans to refine and sell only about 2.5 million troy ounces this year, and they're the world's biggest producer. So that really helps, I think, put things into perspective. You mentioned the palladium and platinum ETFs, which debuted not too long ago. Any ideas to how much impact they've had on the price?
Well, I think they've had significant demand, especially during the economic crisis. We saw hedge fund speculation, which drove platinum prices in mid-2008 to a high of $2,273. And then as the hedge funds divested themselves, both of physical metal and to a lesser extent the ETFs, we saw that that price just crater to $763 within a period of, what, 5 months, something like that.
Yep.
In fact, I mean, it's quite unusual. At some point in December of 2008, an ounce of platinum was cheaper than gold, which was quite the buying opportunity. Palladium at the time went up to $582. It went down to $164. Its price has recovered, basically on the demand for palladium as it's replacing platinum being a cheaper metal in the catalytic converter business. Much like silver, Rob, these are hybrid metals. They're driven mainly by industrial demand fundamentals, but there is this precious metal hoarding component, and that especially becomes prominent in times of global economic duress.
What's your sense in terms of price movement going forward?
Rob, you know, this is one area that I will admit I'm not an expert in, and so I will probably tend to pass on that question, but I can point out one thing. Mm-hmm. If you look at the all-time high of gold, which has been in the last 2 or 3 months, we have not seen a concomitant high in platinum. If you look at something, you know, I'm very much into ratios, and we've talked before about the gold-silver ratio. Now I would like to talk about the gold-platinum ratio, or let's reverse that and talk about the platinum-gold ratio. And historically, those ratios are low compared to what they have been in the past. So I would say that the outlook for platinum increase in price, as if assuming the gold price maintains near its $1,200 per ounce,
trading
historic
range, right.
High, let's say, historic high range, we could certainly see an increase in platinum prices.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, next time out, what do you want to focus on?
As I delved into this, I've become fascinated by the platinum and palladium market. So we actually have had to split this discussion into two parts. So next time we're going to talk about the geopolitics of the platinum and palladium market. And as you know, geopolitics are very important in commodity supply and demand.
Indeed, and there's certainly a lot to chew on when we're talking about platinum and palladium. Good stuff, Mickey. Let's wrap it up there. We'll reconnect in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Good to talk to you once again.
Okay, that's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.